Yes, let's give them a hand, all right? That was so, so beautiful. And by the way, isn't it great to live in a country where we have the freedom in our church service to be able to do that? I think it's great. And so if you are in the military, if you are in the military, you were in the military, would you stand for just a moment? Just stand right where you are. And so it's because of you that we have the freedoms to be able to do what we do here in America, and especially here at Lake Hazel Bible Church. So this is to honor you. So I know that many of you gave your time, your talent, your treasure to be able to serve our country, and for that we are so, so grateful. So thank you for being here this morning and giving us the opportunity to be able to honor you. Well, if you are a guest with us, we don't always start our service with the Star Spangled Banner, by the way, just in case you were wondering. But we are so glad that you are here, and we hope that our service will be a blessing to you. Hopefully, when you came in this morning, you received a welcome packet. Inside that welcome packet is a little card. If you just take a moment, fill that out, drop it in the offering plate when it comes by, or just leave it on the information table out in the foyer. That would be so helpful to us. Hopefully, you also received the bulletin, and hopefully, everyone else did too. But if you didn't get a bulletin, this is not the Sunday you want to make sure you get one after church. Because if you've already seen it, you can see that this is not our normal bulletin. So we had printer issues. We had printer issues for a couple of weeks. We had real major printer issues yesterday. So we had to take them out to have them printed at the last minute yesterday evening. And the place that we took them to be printed, their computer couldn't format with our format for what we use for the bulletin. That's why it looks like it does. But the good news is you got most of the information. So that's a good thing. All right. So let's kind of go over some things. So next Saturday morning, 8 a.m., men, we have men's breakfast. There's a blurb in the bulletin about that. We are going to be at KJ's at Overland and Meridian for breakfast. We want you to come. If you're a guest with us and you have time to be able to come, this is a great time to be able to get to know the men of our church and to be able to have breakfast together. If you have any questions about that, let me know. Also at 10 a.m. next Saturday, ladies, Coffee Connection is at the Alchemist Coffee Shop over on Overland and 5 Mile. And so take note of that. Also, next Sunday is church family dinner. We're going to have an indoor picnic. What? No, we're not going to bring trees in from the outside and make it look that way. But we're going to ask you to bring picnic-type food like chicken, barbecue meat, sandwiches, salads, cupcakes. Anyway, you got the information. So that'll be right after the morning service next week. No sign-up sheet. Just bring and bring enough to be able to share with everybody else. You'll also see an announcement in the bulletin that there's a 50th anniversary coming up. Our church anniversary is coming up. That's in September. Becky and I's 50th anniversary is coming up in July 30th. But our children, Jeremy, Ryan, and Andrea, are putting together a reception for us, or a celebration for us, here at the church, Saturday, August 1st. There's details about it in the bulletin. If you have any questions about that, see one of my children. There's one over there. There's two over here. So see one of those, and they'll be able to answer your questions for you. So there's other information in the bulletin that you need. But men on the leadership team, we want to have a brief meeting right after the morning service. And so if we just meet in the conference room, if you're here and you're on the leadership team, you know who you are. We want to have a brief meeting with you this morning. All right. I want you to all stand. I want you to all stand. And then I want you to turn around, look at the back wall, and look at the anniversary banner that's hanging on the back wall. That is because our anniversary team is continuing to work to be able to provide reminders and to be able to help us celebrate the church's 50th anniversary coming up in September. All right, you can turn back around. Face Jared. Face Jared. Stay standing.
Might as well stay up.
Because he's going to lead us in worship. Are you ready? Let's go.
splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, and trembles at his voice. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great.
Sing about you and you alone. You are the one who is great, not us, not even this country. Lord, you are the one who is great and worthy of all praise and glory and honor today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for what you did. You earned that right to sit down on that throne and be the Lord over all.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, when striving cease.
Satisfied for every sin.
body lay, light of the world by darkness slain, then bursting forth in glorious day.
Would you be seated as we continue this morning? You all know the saying that freedom is not free, and this next song we're going to sing is called Death Was Arrested, and it costs something to gain our freedom, but Jesus rose with our freedom in hand.
Alone in my sorrow and dead in my sin, lost without hope with no place to begin. Your love made a way to let mercy come in. When death was arrested and my life began, ash was redeemed, only beauty remains. My orphan heart was given a name. My mourning grew quiet, my feet rose to dance. When death was arrested and my life began. Oh, your grace so free washes over. My chains, I'm a prisoner no more. My shame was a ransom he faithfully bore. He canceled my debt and he called me his friend. When death was arrested and my life began. Savior displayed on a criminal's cross. Darkness rejoiced as though heaven had lost. But then Jesus arose with our freedom in hand. That's when death was arrested and my life began. Oh, your grace so free washes over.
arrested and my life began. Jealous for me, he loves like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. Oh, how he loves us so. Oh, how he loves us. How he loves us so. Jealous for me, love's like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. Yeah, he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. And we are his portion and he is our prize. Drawn to redemption by the grace in his eyes. If grace is an ocean, we're all sinking. So heaven meets earth like an unforeseen kiss. My heart turns violently inside of my chest. I don't have time to maintain these regrets when I think about the way that he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Yeah, he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. He loves us so. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for showing that ultimate love for us and what you did at that cross. You didn't have to do that. You didn't have to, but you did. And that's what shows that you really loved us. While we were still sinners, you died for us on that cross. Thank you, Jesus, for making us flawless at that cross. We couldn't have done it without you. We couldn't have done it at all. So thank you. That's all we could say is thank you, thank you, thank you. Hallelujah. Praise you. You're glorious. You're wonderful. And you're amazing. And we couldn't say it enough. But we'll say it again. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Our ushers are going to take this morning's offering, and we're going to sing a reminder for you. A little reminder. You were made flawless at that cross. There's got to be more than going back and forth from doing right to doing wrong. Cause we were thought that's who we are. Come on, get in line right behind me. You along with everybody, thinking there's worth in what you do. And like a hero who takes a stage when we're on the edge of my seat, saying it's too late. Well, let me introduce you to amazing grace. No matter the bumps, no matter the bruises, no matter the scars, still the truth is the cross has made. The cross has made you flawless. Could it possibly be that we simply can't believe that this unconditional kind of love would be enough to take a filthy wretch like this, wrap him up in righteousness? But that's exactly what he did. No matter the bumps, no matter the bruises, no matter the scars, still the truth is the cross has made. The cross has made you flawless. No matter the hurt or how deep the wound is, no matter the pain, still the truth is the cross has made. The cross has made you flawless. Oh yeah. Take a breath, smile and say, right here, right now, I'm okay because the cross was enough. Then like a hero who takes a stage when we're on the edge of our seat, saying it's too late. Well, let me introduce you to grace, grace, God's grace. No matter the bumps, no matter the bruises, no matter the scars, still the truth is the cross has made. The cross has made you flawless. No matter the hurt or how deep the wound is, no matter the pain, still the truth is the cross has made. The cross has made you flawless. No matter what they say or what you think you are, the day you called his name, he made you flawless. He made you flawless. No matter the bumps, no matter the bruises, no matter the scars, still the truth is the cross has made. The cross has made you flawless.
Turn with me, if you will, to Genesis chapter 3. So I just got to know, anybody in this room, have you made yourself flawless? Good answer. It's what Jesus did for us that makes us flawless. It's the fact that we come to him in faith. We come to him in belief of what he did for us. So anyone here this morning ever play the game Trivial Pursuit? Now, you can say yes, even if you're not good at it, because I didn't ask if you were good at it. I just asked if you played it. Okay? So Trivial Pursuit is a Canadian board game in which winning is determined by a player's ability to answer trivia and popular culture questions. Players move their pieces around the board. You can see the picture of it up there. The squares they land on determining the subject of a question they are asked from a card, from six categories, including history, all the way to science and nature. Each correct answer allows the player's turn to continue. A correct answer on one of the six category headquarters spaces earns a plastic wedge, which is slotted into the answerer's playing piece. The object of the game is to collect all six wedges from each category headquarters space and then return to the center hub space to answer in a question in a category, get this, selected by the other players. The game was created on December 15, 1979 in Montreal, Quebec by Canadians Chris Haney, who was a photo editor for Montreal's The Gazette, and Scott Abbott, who was a sports editor for the Canadian Press. By 1982, the game has sold 100,000 copies in Canada. Sales began in the U.S. in 1983, and between 1983 and 1988, it sold 30 million copies of the original version. Retail sales were 750 million. This thing was the thing back then. And in 2025, Trivial Pursuit was inducted into the National Toy Hall of Fame. Well, you know what? We're going to talk about a not trivial pursuit this morning as we look at Genesis chapter 3, verses 8 through 10. So after being tempted by Satan and going headfirst down the slippery slope of sin, Adam and Eve experienced so much shame and guilt that they tried to hide from the one who is the Creator God. Let's see what our text this morning has to say, starting in verse 8 of Genesis chapter 3, reading down through verse 10. And they, Adam and Eve, heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And the man said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." You know what this tells us? God desires to pursue us. God desires to pursue us. So let's talk about that for a moment. God pursues when we are hiding from him. After Adam and Eve sinned, they heard God walking in the garden. For what purpose? To pursue them. Once again, in these verses, we see how God is referred to as Yahweh Elohim, emphasizing both his power and his presence. Three times in three verses, God is identified as the Creator and the Covenant Keeper. Now, the Hebrew indicates that this was a normal and regular practice for God to be present with his creation in a natural and intimate way. And notice that God came walking, not running. Not running as one looking for vengeance and to hound out punishment. I want you to hold on to that for the rest of the sermon this morning. Now, the cool of the day refers to late afternoon or early evening. In the Hebrew, it reads this way, in the breeze of the day. Isn't that good? In the breeze of the day. Folks, it's going to get hot this afternoon. But there's some cooler breezes later on today that we can look forward to. This is when the evening winds would blow gently through the garden. You know, it's common for people to walk later in the day when it is cool. And during this time of day, as we're walking in the coolness of the day, is when we become more reflective. So as this breeze is blowing, I wonder if Adam and Eve were experiencing sorrow and their loss of companionship and comfort with God while they were attempting to cover up and conceal their sin. God wanted to talk and walk with Adam and Eve, but instead they balked and bailed. In the place of being free, all they wanted to do was flee and hide behind a tree. Now, many people read this narrative of Genesis this way. Adam and Eve sinned. God came looking for them, chewed them out, cursed everything in sight, kicked them out of the garden, and shut and locked the door behind them. But that's not the way it is. Notice God did not come running after them. He came what? Walking to them. Even though disobedience had disrupted their relationship with God, do not miss that he took the initiative and pursued them while they were in hiding. Instead of heading towards God, Adam and Eve hid themselves, which has the idea of concealing themselves. They were so filled with guilt and shame that they wanted to stay as far away from God as possible and have him stay as far away from them as possible. Can you relate? Have you ever had that same experience? Adam and Eve hid among the very trees that God had created. The very trees that God had said to Adam and Eve, these trees are good for food. These very trees that God, after they had been created, said they are very good. Adam chose to use them. Adam and Eve chose to use them as a hiding place. Adam and Eve hid among the very trees God had created, somehow thinking he could not see them or find them. They should have known better. Folks, when we try to hide from God when we sin, we ought to know better. Because we're not hiding from God. Nothing, as we're going to see here in a moment, is hidden from God. Have you ever tried to hide from God? How did that work out for you? I know that I've tried to hide from God. Didn't work out very well. He still told me I'd messed up. He still told me that I didn't do what he wanted me to do, and I had to face the consequences. No matter what you do, or how far away you try to flee, or where you try to hide, God takes the initiative to pursue you. There is no place to hide. There is no place to hide. There is not one place to hide. Listen to Psalm 139, verse 7. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? You see, when we sin, we try to run and hide from God. And when we sin, God pursues us to bring us back to him. Isn't that good? Isn't that beautiful? He doesn't leave us in our sin. Here's the second thing I want us to know. God pursues when we are afraid of him. God pursues when we are afraid of him. Notice how God's first words to Adam and Eve after they sinned were words of grace. Well, didn't we just sing about grace this morning? God asked Adam a question, not because God didn't know the answer, but because he wanted Adam to think about where disobedience had taken him. The question that God asked Adam is the same question he asks you and me yet today. Where are you? Some of us read this question in a certain way. Where are you guys? And you two really messed up. Come out here now. But even in the Hebrew, that's not the emphasis. That's not the emphatic that is used. So do not miss this. The first thing God does when he approaches sinful humans is to bring them out of their hiding. God's first word to fallen man indicates a message of grace. God's question indicates he desired to reconcile, not retaliate. God knew where they were hiding and that he would have to begin the pursuit to restore the relationship. God's intent was not to harm them, but to help them. Instead of answering where he was hiding, Adam answered with why he was hiding. God was trying to get Adam to admit his sin. Instead, Adam focused on the consequences of his sin. Let's go back to verse 10. And Adam said, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. Adam felt exposed with the presence of God's holiness. So he tried to deflect the question and continued to hide himself. Their attempts at using fig leaves to cover up had failed, and so did their plan to hide themselves. Notice that God did not come suddenly upon them because they heard his sound when he was some distance away. Now, I want you to think about that for a moment. They heard the sound of God. You know, everybody, when they walk, they have a sound. Did you know that? Because we not all walk the same way. In fact, we have a receptionist, the weekend receptionist at Valley View. And when she hears Becky and I get off the elevator and come walking to the reception desk where she's at, she knows exactly that it's us. She doesn't even have to look. How does she know it's us? She can smell me? No, because I've taken a shower. It's not that. How does she know it's us? Because she knows the sound of us walking. And even from a distance, she can tell who we are. Adam and Eve was so close to God that they could even tell when God was making the sound of walking towards them in the garden. Why? Because day after day after day, he would come. And he would come at the same time, and they could hear his sound of his walk coming through the garden. Wow. I love that. I just love that. Do we hear the sound of God when he's coming to us? Because he wants to have fellowship with us. He wants us to be able to understand something. He wants to communicate something to us. They heard his sound when he was some distance away. But take note that God's presence was no longer a comfort and joy to Adam and Eve after they sinned. Now God's presence was a terror to them. Sin made Adam afraid of God's presence and fearful of God's power. And as descendants of Adam and Eve, fear causes us to flee from God also. Now, in the many years that I've been in ministry, here are some things that I've learned. I've learned a lot of things, but I'm not going to share them all with you now. I don't have time. You don't have time. But I'm going to share a couple things. Here's one of the things I've learned. Sometimes people avoid attending church because they do not want to face their sin. Like Adam and Eve, it's easier to hide and conceal your sins than it is to respond to God's holiness and take care of them. So people quit coming to church because they no longer want to hear the truths of God's word that brings them to the place of what? Through God's Holy Spirit. That brings them to the place of what? Facing their sin. They don't want any part of that. Fear of the exposure of sin can cause people to unplug, and when they unplug, it is likely that they will unravel. Sometimes people leave a church because they know they are sinning and they do not want to change. It's a sad thing. Here's another thing I've learned. God pursues the sinner. God pursues the sinner. Listen to Romans chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. None is righteousness. No, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good. Not even one. It says, no one seeks for God. So the other side of that coin is what? God seeks us. Even in our sin, God seeks us. If it were not for God pursuing us to bring us back to himself, we would never come to him, because everyone has an inherited bent to running away and hiding from him. Thank you, Adam and Eve. Now, let's not be so harsh on these two, because maybe Adam was expecting God's promise of death, as related to us in Genesis chapter 2, verse 17, to immediately come true after they had disobeyed. Remember what God had said? He said, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. So maybe Adam is thinking, whoa, I'm just waiting. I'm just waiting for that death knell to fall. I'm just waiting for that to happen. And maybe that's why he was hiding. Maybe he was hiding not only from God, but from death itself. But as we sang about just a moment ago, thank you, worship team. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, death was what? Arrested. We don't have to fear death. Even when we sin, we don't have to fear death. And God pursues us to bring us back to himself. Now, as the sun set and Adam heard God's voice, it's possible he thought God was going to enact his righteous judgment. But God's pursuit of them was in grace and mercy. Do you see that? Now, I'm sure, like me, when you were growing up, you would play hide and seek. And you would play hide and seek where it was easy to hide behind trees or even in a tree. And if you were the one seeking, you said something like, "Ready or not, here I come," after you were done counting. And once you started seeking, then maybe you would say after a period of time, "Come out, come out, wherever you are." Right? How many of you done that? Okay. All right. So I'm not crazy. So when someone would locate an especially good spot and no one could find them, then you would eventually yell out, "Ollie, ollie, oxen free." How many of you did that? What in the world does that mean? Well, let me explain it to you as best as I can. All you knew, right, at the time, was that it had something to do with the game being over and the last one found would be declared the winner. Now, the exact origin of this phrase is uncertain. I did some research about this, by the way. But the phrase was used to tell those who were still hiding that they may come in without penalty. Y'all get that? It's speculated that this phrase was used as a call in the streets of London when playing hide and seek. And it went something like this: all ye urchins free. You know, in England, they call little kids urchins, right? Fellow urchins. Okay, all ye urchins free. Fellow urchins, the game is over. It's time to come out of hiding and be found by the one who's maybe seeking you for years. If you're in sin, come out of your hiding. If you are in unbelief, come out of hiding. Where are you today? Is there a sin you're holding on to? Is there an activity you are hiding behind? Is it ambition, bitterness, hatred, immorality, fantasies, gaming, shopping, your phone, alcohol, drugs, hobbies, possessions? Fellow urchins, come on out and be free. And maybe we should pray this prayer that was prayed by the psalmist, found in Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Is that a good prayer? I think so. Search me, O God. Is there anything hidden in my life that your word tells me should not be there? Is there anything in my life that your Holy Spirit is telling me I need to get rid of? Is there a change in my life that I need to make because you are not pleased with where I'm at? My life is not bringing you, my choices, my attitudes, my actions are not bringing you the honor and the glory that you so deserve. Search me, O God. Show me the places that I'm hiding. Show me the things that I've allowed to hide in my life that no longer need to be there. And know my heart. Because it's with our heart that we hide. Well, we're not afraid of people. We're not afraid of other believers. We're not even afraid of coming to church. Most of the time when we're in sin, we're afraid of God through his word exposing where our hearts are hiding and what it is that's hiding in our heart. Try me. Try me. You know, Dave understands this, right? When somebody's accused of a crime or when a crime is committed, there are charges placed upon that person because of the evidence. What do they go? Where do they go when they go to court? They go to trial. The word "try" here is a word of court. It's a legal term. Try me. Put me on trial, God. Take a look at my life. Take a look at my heart. Put me on trial and see what I'm hiding from you. See what's hiding in my heart, in my life. from you. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. You know, it can be unsettling to know that nothing is hidden from God. It can be unsettling to know that God knows everything. We build a lot of time, we build a lot of energy, we build a lot of sweat equity into hiding our sin, when God already knows. Listen to Jeremiah 23, verse 24. Can a man hide himself in secret places so that I cannot see him, declares the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, declares the Lord? There is no hiding place. God knows everything. God sees everything. Fellow urchins, come out of your hiding. Stop and let God catch up to you, because he's pursuing you. Instead of running and hiding, know that God's pursuit of you is loving and gracious. So if you leave here this morning, here's some things I want you to think about. Quit hiding from God. Quit running from God. Surrender to him. Surrender those things that you're hiding. Surrender those places that you go to hide from God. Surrender them to him. And when you surrender them, they no longer belong to you, they belong to him. So don't try to take them back. God's pursuing us is not a trivial pursuit. It is the pursuit of his grace, his love, and his mercy. Let's pray. Father, I'm so thankful that even when we sin, you do not leave us alone in our sin. Father, even when we try to conceal where we are and conceal what's going on in our lives, nothing is hidden from you. Father, when we try to hide from you, when we try to run from you, there's no place for us to hide. There's no place to run that you're not aware of where we are and what we've done. And Father, help us to remember that your pursuing of us is not a trivial pursuit. You want to bring us back to you. You want to bring us back to that right relationship. That's one of the reasons why Jesus went to the cross, was so that we could be reconciled back to you. He paid our debt of sin so that we no longer have to carry it and continue to live apart from you. Father, when we sin, your son pursues us, and it's not a trivial pursuit. So Father, if we need to be pursued this morning, Father, send your Holy Spirit to be able to pursue us and help us to remember it's a pursuit of your grace, of your love, and your mercy. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Would you stand with me for this last song?
Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He hath loosed the fateful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, seen him in the watch tribes of 100 circling camps. They have builded him an altar in the evening dews and damps. I can read the righteous sentence by the dim and flaring lamps. His day is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Marching on. He has
sounded forth the trumpet that shall never call retreat. He is sifting out the hearts of men before his judgment seat. Oh, be swift, my soul, to answer him, be jubilant, my feet. Our God is marching on. Glory, glory, alleluia. Glory, glory, alleluia. Glory, glory, alleluia. His truth is marching on. In the beauty of the lilies, Christ was born across the sea. Died to make men holy, let us live to